Jimmy, I'm still here. Wish you were.
Okay. Welcome. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this? Is the show started yet? Because I had to go to the bathroom.
Yes, the show is starting now.
What are you doing? You're going, you're laughing?
Don't worry about it, Margaret. I'm in control of the show. I got it going on, okay? Way to go, bud. You got the wrong track up again. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you on the air now or not?
I'm on the air, yeah.
So you're on the air, Phil, right?
Yes, General, I'm on the air. The problem was that this particular track was the wrong version, but it's a pretty good one. That's Dick Dale and the Deltones doing Third Rock from the Sun, and I just should explain, because I like to explain things like this, even though probably people won't know what I'm talking about. But at the very beginning of that record, you hear Dick Dale say, "Jimmy, I'm still here, and I wish you were." Because in Third Rock from the Sun, Jimi Hendrix says, quote, "You'll never hear surf music again." And Dick Dale was the king of surf music in the day. So that's a very sweet little homage to Jimi Hendrix saying, "I'm still here, and I wish you were," you know. Okay.
Well, now, Dick Dale, I remember he played at the Avalon Ballroom.
Nobody wanted to talk about the surf.
Excuse me, Dick Dale, I'm talking right now, but Dick Dale played at the Avalon Ballroom. Never mind.
Yeah, that's not worth getting into.
No, but him...
Well, Margaret, if you'd like, you can talk to me about it. We can sit down and have a cup of coffee or you know...
No, that's all right, General, thank you.
Well, I was just offering.
Okay, so welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry program. And we're here every night until, should we call it a show or a program? Well, it doesn't matter. We're here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
What's the difference?
Well, I think a program is traditionally considered to be something that has a variety of guests on it. So you have your program, and what's on the program, you know? And a show is just a presentation, and you don't really know what it's going to be.
But I thought this may be a program.
Yes, I would say it's a program.
No, I would say it's a show, because I don't know what I'm doing from one minute to the next. I have no idea what I'm doing anymore, okay? I don't know whether it was that head injury.
Phil, you're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. Okay, guys, a couple of things. Right off the bat, there is a news story from North Korea where the uncle of North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-uk or Kim Jong-woo or some jazz like that. I don't know. I forget the guy's name.
You know something? You should know the name. I'll look it up.
All right, well, it's Kim Jong-un or something. It's the son.
Yeah, the son of the guy that was Kim, the guy that got killed.
What guy got killed?
Guy didn't get killed, man. He just died.
Oh.
The guy just died. Kim Jong-il. And he croaked, and the son took over, Kim Jong-something or other. Excuse me. And the uncle apparently was caught in some kind of a conspiracy, some sort of a contretemps, a subversive effort to undermine the government there in North Korea, and he has been executed. And the reason why I bring this up is not because it's any really big news. I mean, anybody that's shocked by anything that comes out of North Korea is, you know. The reason why I bring it up is for any of our listeners out there or any of our viewers on Phil TV and HD, and good evening to all of you guys, who may be considering this to be sort of a curiosity. You know, you think, well, isn't that, boy, that North Korea is really whacked out. Why don't they get with it, you know? I mean, ha, 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 you know. I mean, it's not, I don't think you're acting that way, but you probably think of North Korea as just this oddity, as this thing that's just...
Well, I do. I see North Korea as almost a freak, you know, a freak of nature. If life truly is a circus, that's the freak tent.
Yeah, that's where the freak is.
Well, let me just explain something. If that's the freak tent, at one time, that was the main attraction. If life is a circus, at one time, that was the trapeze artist, the clowns, that was the elephant, that was the center ring. Because while we sit here and think of North Korea as the freaky, weaky, goofy thing...
That was the norm.
That was the norm. That was the world, man. And I only say that because it gives you some perspective. I heard a great saying the other day. The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. Well, that's true.
Now, what does that mean?
Look, I'm not going to get sucked in, okay?
No, Phil, you can't. You cannot. That's a beautiful quote, and it deserves some articulation.
Yeah, I think you ought to articulate it, you know?
Hey, look at Bud. Don't start, man.
What?
I can tell when you're starting to... The wheels are turning, and you're going to throw a hand grenade in here.
What are you talking about? Never mind there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're always talking about how you want to articulate stuff. And before the show, you know...
Are you going to let him go on?
Yeah, no, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Before the show, you said that you don't want to talk about no news story on account of it sucks. Right? Didn't you say that?
No, wait a second.
No, didn't you say that?
Yes, I did.
All right, now there you go. Talk about North Korea. Go ahead. Give yourself enough rope, and you'll...
Hang myself with it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to talk about the whole thing here, man.
Well, Phil, I think you need to explain the past is another man.
No, the past is another country.
All right, I misheard that. I'm sorry. I thought the past is another man, and the present is your wife. What do you think of that?
Oh, I like that. That's
No, you're joking, right?
Why would I be joking? I'm trying to bring this back to the center of the room, if you will.
Yeah, well, what does that mean, General?
Well, Phil said that the past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. And I thought that was melodic. I thought it was very poetic. But I wanted to try to improve on it. The past is your wife, and the present is a cheap creep who's hitting on her. Who's hitting on her?
Would you get him some water, man?
Sorry. Yeah, come on, General.
The past is your wife, and the present is some cheap creep that's hitting on her. That makes no sense at all.
It makes more sense than the past is a, what is it?
No, if that doesn't make sense, the past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. And that's a great quote, because that's really what the past is. The past is this, it's a place that we recognize. It's a place where there's people there, and they're moving around and doing stuff just like we do, but... You know, we gotta, if we want to investigate that world, if we want to live in that world, if we want to go back there and check it out, we have to understand the customs, and we have to understand the languages, and we have to understand the place. You're in a different place, so you have to kind of understand how people act. And when I look at this story about Kim Jong, whatever the hell,
that's not even a guy, man. It's the guy is the other guy.
Yes, it's the man in the... Would you speak English, Butter? Now I know why Phil's frustrated. It's the man that was executed.
Yeah, the uncle of Kim Jong-un. He has been executed for trying to overthrow the government. This is according to the Korean Central News Agency. Traitor, and this is the way that they phrase these things. Traitor Jong-sung Taek. Traitor Jong-sung Taek executed, blared the headline posted by the state-run news agency about the man who, until recently, had been regarded as the nation's second most powerful figure. The story said that a special military tribunal had been held on Thursday against the traitor for all ages, who was accused of trying to overthrow the state by all sorts of intrigues and despicable methods. It added, all the crimes committed by the accused were proved in the course of hearing and were admitted by him. Yeah, I'm sure that they were. See, North Korea doesn't understand that the world is laughing at this. And yeah, we ought to laugh at it, but you ought to understand, this is the way it was, man. This is the way that it was for a long, long time. This is the way it was for thousands of years. Thousands of years!
What are you talking about, thousands of years?
That's the way the world was. See, when we look at this... We're looking at an animal that's about to be extinct. When we look at a country like North Korea, we're looking at an animal that is about to go extinct. And at one time, there were millions of them. At one time, they populated the earth, these kinds of governments. At one time, America, with the exception of maybe one or two other countries, we stood alone against a world that was like this. And like we were saying in the pre-show, it was like walking down an alley and you're the only guy with any money in your pocket. And in that alley are about five or six guys that want to jump you and beat the crap out of you. That was America. We're walking down the alley. And no wonder we had our fists out all the time. No wonder we had we were ready to rock and roll with anybody, because it was survival time, you know?
Well, what about before there was communism? What are you talking about? Communism only started because I looked it up. Communism started when, General?
Communism started in the, communism started in 1918 when the Bolsheviki which is the technical term for the Bolshevik.
The Bolshevik?
Yes, the Bolshevik, but the Bolsheviki is the way those Russians... You've seen Russians. They've got the big beards.
The general's confused.
I'm not confused about anything. I'm looking at people here that are staring at me like I've just come out of a coma.
Well, no. Let's take a break, okay?
What, did you hear what he just did? He went, no.
We're going to take a break here, General, and we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show, and we'll continue with the General... The discussion here of commies and the Bolsheviki and North Korea and what was and what would ever be, what is and what will never be.
Led Zeppelin.
Yes, and Led Zeppelin, and we'll probably get on a guest here. We got Don Berman coming up too, folks, to talk about the closing of Hollywood Park, a Southern California, a thoroughbred racing institution, coming up later in the program. Everybody's... What, bud?
I like cowbell.
The song's called Grazing in the Grass. So what do you think is grazing in the grass?
Oh, cow.
Yeah, cow. All right. Anyway, welcome to the program. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, welcome. World famous Phil Henry Show. You know, when we say that we're world famous, we're not just whistling Dixie.
Larry.
It's an expression, okay? Well, let me just get 5 seconds into something without you going, huh? What? Really? Huh?
I think you really ought to just close him out of the studio, make him sit out there with the general, and feed the general Nilla wafers.
Well, now, hold on for a minute. Why do I have to sit out there?
What I mean is when you go... Never mind.
When you go out there, General, I think she's saying.
Well, I've got my Nilla wafers. I've got the banana pudding. What more do I need?
True.
What's so funny about that?
Malcolm?
No, but this one here was laughing.
It just is funny when you said that.
Said what? When I said that I had my Nilla wafers?
Yeah, when you said you had a Nilla wafer and banana pudding, what more do I need? Mr. Henry laughed at you.
Well, I can see that, Dick. When I saw him laughing, my question was, why?
It was funny. It was funny. When you said, what more do I need?
Well, you know something, Phil? I'll tell you a little secret. At my age, it doesn't take a lot. All I'm asking is that you humor an old man.
General, I'm sorry.
Now you upset him.
I didn't do anything on purpose.
I'm just asking you.
I'm sorry, General.
What are you crying for? I'm just an old man.
Okay, why do I not believe you?
I don't know.
All right, so on the line with us from Channel 19, we have now, I guess we can talk to him now, because we were going to do a little background here on the whole commie thing, because we're talking about what happened in the country of North Korea over the last 48 hours, actually the last 24 hours. This happened Thursday night Korea time, which it's Thursday night here on the West Coast, and it's Thursday night on the East Coast of the United States. So it was many, many hours ago, you know.
I don't understand. So it's yesterday there now?
No, it's tomorrow there now. Why would it be yesterday? Why would it... See, this is where we get lost, bud. Why would it be yesterday?
Because... Now, think about it, ma'am. You said it was Thursday when they executed him, right?
It was Thursday when they executed him, yes. So why would it still be yesterday?
Because of the international dateline.
Right, the international dateline is a fantastic thing, man. But they're not going from Thursday to Wednesday. They're not going, it doesn't happen that way. It's now, they're on a regular clock. We're all on a regular clock.
Then why does it say that you go back in time on an international dateline?
If you're traveling, for instance, if I am traveling from Korea to the United States and it's Thursday night, I'm traveling back to the United States, it's probably, let's say it's Thursday afternoon in Korea, I travel to the United States, and now it's Wednesday night. See?
What?
But I'm not going to sit here and give you a lesson, okay?
Listen, Dickman, hold on for a minute. Dickman, you're not that stupid, so quit screwing around. This is General Shaw speaking. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. I can't...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain.
No, it ain't hard to explain, and he can understand it. Okay?
Well, you traveled from the Orient once, Phil, didn't you?
The Orient?
It's an old term, but I like to keep it alive.
Well, a lot of people think it's racist.
I beg your pardon. No, it isn't.
Yes, a lot of people think the term Orient and Oriental is racist, okay?
You really love that word, don't you? You love spitting it in my direction, don't you?
Well, I think it's kind of funny. I think it's funny, Margaret, when you walk around and you think you're the epitome of egalitarian views, and you come up with a term like Orient, and I'm sticking it in there a little bit.
Sticking what in where? Excuse me.
He didn't mean that. He's talking about sticking it in and breaking it off.
Yes, and so what makes that any different?
Because it depends on what you're sticking in, doesn't it?
Would you get my husband, please?
Go ahead, get him. I don't give a damn.
What do you mean by that?
Margaret, sticking it in means a knife, okay?
Well, how am I to know that?
Because of the breaking it off part.
Oh.
Still want me to call Frank?
No, never mind.
All right, so Don Berman, Channel 19 News, is going to join us here, and we will discuss very briefly, of course, the contretemps there in North Korea. And then we're going to get into the closing of Hollywood Park, a longtime institution in Southern California. And if you're a racing fan, a horse racing fan, you know all the great tracks, and you know all of the great thoroughbred plants, as we like to call them. I grew up in a city with one of them. I grew up in Arcadia, California, which has Santa Anita Racetrack and Hialeah and Gulfstream and Belmont and Bay Meadows and, oh my God, it's just Pimlico is.
What are you trying to say, Phil?
Yeah, Phil, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
All right. Well, it sounded like you were stroking. Excuse me. You go blah, 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 blah.
Pimlico is what I'm trying to say. Don Berman, Don.
You're trying to find the name of Pimlico. Yes, that is where the Preakness is held. And that is one third of the wonderful Triple Crown of horse racing, which is the Kentucky Derby. And that is at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Hold on. You went down this road, so we're going to take it all the way down to the end of the road. All right? You started down this road. We're going all the way to the end to where they sell the pop out of that warm pop machine, and there's a dog with an infected ear, and all the things that you...
Yeah, okay.
What is that?
Something I've said to him once.
Bill was telling me about going to the Delacroix in Louisiana, where he encountered some people that frightened him. They frightened him very deeply. And I was trying to explain to him...
Well, they didn't frighten me.
Well, you said they did. They were all shrimp boat people. And they were outside of New Orleans. If you ever saw Southern Comfort, you know exactly where I'm going.
Oh, okay, yes. Now, you're talking about the Cajun and the Creole people that haunt the swamps south of New Orleans. Is that it?
I didn't say that I was scared. I said it was a very different environment. That's all.
Well, yes, General. That's exactly what... And he was talking about people that looked to be malformed. They were shrimp boat people. But according to Phil, they look to have one arm shorter than the other.
No, I never said anything like that.
Well, then what did you say about them looking like something out of a zoo?
I didn't say that at all. I said that they looked very different. I mean, I didn't say that they were malformed. I didn't say anything. I just said, you know, they were kind of... The thing that struck me was that we were that close to New Orleans, and these folks were, you know, you're only talking 30, 40 miles from New Orleans, and it's like a different world.
Well, what were you... You said something along the lines of... I'm sure that evolution passed them by because they're cut off from society.
When did I say that?
When I was talking with you, Phil, about these very people. The Creole people, the Cajun people. Excuse me for a minute. I'm having a peanut butter sandwich. Is that all right with you?
What's that?
I'm having a peanut butter sandwich. Is that all right with you? I'm very hungry. I'm getting ready for a meal.
Of course, if you're hungry.
Well, you don't want to get low blood sugar.
Right.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. You said that it was a pocket that seemed to have been bypassed by evolution, and that even the moths and the house cats were bigger and...
I don't know who you could have been talking to. It wasn't me.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds ridiculous. It sounds like quasi-science.
Well, I was talking to, might have been one of the guys in the newsroom. Oh, you know who I think it was? It was Mr. Martin, who is... L. Ron Martin has taken over the radio station, or the TV station.
Well, then you're going to have to take it up with L. Ron Martin. I hope he doesn't come over there asking for cappuccino again, or whatever that stuff is that he drinks. Phil Hendry's show, we're online here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and we're going to be talking with him here in a moment about the... we're going to be talking with him here in a moment about the God, I'm blanking out, man. What's... Oh, about... the closing of Hollywood Park. Why am I...
You know what, Henry, if you would... How you doing, Don? I'm good. You know, Henry, if you would just spit it out and... if I'd been talking, then... How are you, sir? You talking about me? No, I'm not, sir. I'm talking... Hey, Eddie, come here. I got 40. Come here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Is he gone?
Yes, he's gone. But if you'd been talking to me and I was talking to you, he wouldn't have come near me because he would have seen that we're doing a show. All right?
Okay, hold on for a minute. I apologize. I was trying to find that song, and never mind. I was just...
You know something, Phil? I think you need a vacation. I think you need a long vacation away from here, all of this.
Right. And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Just to let you know, Don Berman has decided to get the hell out of the station, you know.
Why is he doing that?
Because he's sick and tired of Don L. Ron Martin, who is the owner and general manager of Channel 19, just took over, as you guys know. I say just took over. It's been a couple of years, but every time we're on the air with Don from the newsroom, L. Ron Martin comes over.
Well, the man is very rude with that espresso machine of his. How much coffee he can drink, I don't know. I'm watching the way you drink coffee, Phil, so I know the human body can take a lot, but...
Well, this is espresso. This guy's dry. I would never even approach the intake of caffeine that guy experiences. So Don has gotten in the car. He's going to go down to Corky Downs, which is a local night racing track in the L.A. area. I think it's down near Los Alamitos, as a matter of fact. And he's going to call us when he gets there because he needs to just to get the hell out of the office, and that's fine because we're going to continue our discussion here of the events in North Korea, and then we will be discussing the closing of Hollywood Park with Don Berman. I think probably we should just finish out the hour.
Yeah, it's fine. Just do it. Go.
Now, come on, Mr. Simmons. Don't tell me to go.
Well, you know, Phil, what do you say? We're burning daylight?
Yes, Phil, it's...
You know, I'm explaining some stuff, okay? And I was actually asking your opinion.
My opinion of what?
Should we or should we not?
Yeah, I say you should.
Yeah.
Okay, then we will bring on Harvey Weierman, who will talk about the whole North Korea situation, which I think is fascinating. Also, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, and our website, philhenryshow.com, is where you go for your backstage pass, which is a subscription to our website. Now, what that gets you is direct access to our radio show without going through any middleman. You get an access to our archives, which are almost, they're over 5,000 hours. And we're going to have to redo that number because we've got thousands and thousands of hours of radio on our website. It's, we think, the biggest archive of a single radio show anywhere in the world. We also have our videocast archive. We also have a variety of different videocasts we've done down through the years, a variety of different interviews that we've done, a variety of different television pilots and television projects that we've been involved in. It's pure radio, baby. It's the best possible radio site. It's all about the content on the show, and it ain't about nothing else. So join us over there at Phil Henry Show. com. Harvey Weierman joining us from San Marino, California, actually on his way home now from the office. Harvey, good to talk to you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
And General Shaw is here.
Harvey, how are you doing?
Hey, General, I can't complain. They got the old men in here tonight, huh?
Well, yes, they do, and better show for it, because I think we add a perspective, you know. I said I think we add a perspective.
I have a hard time hearing him.
Well, you can speak up.
Well, now I forgot. You asked me too many times what I just said, and now I've forgotten because I'm further and further away from the event.
Well, I understand that. You know,
you said a perspective. You guys add a perspective.
Yes.
I add a perspective.
Yeah. What's that mean?
That's what you said. All right. Harvey,
let me think of it.
Harvey, did you see what happened in North Korea?
Yeah, I saw the news. I'm looking here in the news briefs about it. It's par for the course for those crazy maniacs over there. You know, what are you going to do? The only way you're going to get rid of a slob like that is if the army raises up and the army, you know, takes over. Now, the North Koreans, let me explain something, Phil, so that there's no missing
what are they missing?
Well, what somebody tell you what they're missing? What you're missing is you can't, you don't.
Well, never mind what they're missing then, Harvey.
What's that?
Well, then never mind because you can't think of it.
Well, think of what?
What are you talking about?
No, I know. The North Korea, what you're missing is the following thing. The North Koreans, if they hate anybody, they hate the Chinese. Now, you may think that the North Koreans kiss up to the Chinese. Of course they do. They have to. The Chinese tell the North Koreans what to wipe with. Whether they're using the can, and you know, the North Koreans don't do anything without the Chinese, okay?
But that's why they like them.
No, you're wrong, Dickman. They don't like them. The North Koreans hate the Chinese because for centuries, century after century after century, the Chinese if it hasn't been the Chinese, it's been the Japanese overrunning the Korean Peninsula, okay?
All right, so that's a very good thing to know. So the Koreans, much like the Sicilians in Europe, have been the subject of frequent conquest.
Yes, that's a very good example, Phil. Surprisingly good, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that is very studious, Phil.
It is. I'm blown away, too.
Okay.
Well, Phil, you're not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree.
All right, but I think I did a good job there.
Yes, you did a good job. Someone get him a cookie.
All right, take it easy, man. Otherwise, I'm going to start taking you guys seriously. Then I'm going to get angry. And then, well, you heard me yesterday with the whole, you know, the machete, and I'm being tased on the driveway.
Yeah, Harvey, yesterday Phil threatened us, saying he was going to cut us all up.
You did, huh?
Well, I sort of intimated it.
Good for you.
How dare you?
Now, come on. Let's listen to what he's got to say.
Yeah, I was called on this program to say something, and I'm going to say it. And here it is, Telly Savalas. No, I joke because I love.
What does that mean?
It's like showbiz patter.
Come on, Harvey, please, just spit it out, will you? So you talk, because you were getting into something really interesting. The Chinese have overrun Korea.
Yes, the Chinese have overrun Korea. The Japanese have. So the Koreans, you know, if they overthrow Kim Jong-un or the guy's name, that means the army is in charge. Now, the army doesn't know if they're going to be able to withstand the influence, if not the actual armed invasion of the Chinese. Understand something, that if the Chinese consider North Korea to be vulnerable at all, the Chinese are going to come in the same way the Soviets went into Eastern European countries.
Okay, so the Chinese would interview.
Chinese would interview. No, you'd go interview them.
No, I mean the Chinese would intervene in North Korea if what happened.
If what happened, I just said.
Didn't Phil, he said the Chinese would intervene in North Korea if the army had to step in. The army's afraid that if they do step in, the Chinese will, they'll be staring down the barrel of a Chinese shotgun.
Yes, that's if that's what you're saying, General.
Yes, I'm not a general. You are.
Oh, my God, I'm the J.A. What are you?
I'm a lawyer. Wow.
Oh, okay, yes. If that's what you're saying, lawyer.
You can call me Harvey.
I'm sorry. If that's what you're saying, Harvey, I agree.
Yeah, okay. So,
do you need some sleep or something, General?
No, I'm fine. I feel good. I feel fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, here's what I'm saying, I think you understand. That the North Koreans, in order for them to take out this Kim Jong, whatever the hell, and this intrigue that was taking place, of course, there's another side to this. There's another side to this. Maybe this guy... this guy they executed was doing it at the behest of the Chinese.
Well, you know, I mean, the Chinese, what would the Chinese gain by getting rid of this guy in North Korea? The Chinese, I think the Chinese like what's happening in North Korea. I think they like the status quo in North Korea. not because they want to necessarily see people suffer, but because it gives them the illusion or the reality. It gives them the reality of control. It is a little, you know, the North Koreans are this threat. They're always talking about missiles. They're always launching missiles. People are over, you know, here in the United States. The Chinese probably think it's hysterically funny watching Americans running around holding on to our asses every time those guys shoot a missile off.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And the Chinese probably laugh themselves sick every time we get freaked out by a North Korean nuclear missile, you know. So maybe they want that status quo. And with the Army upsetting things, you get the Army in control, and you don't know. It becomes a military occupation, and that is not necessarily ideologic. That's simply the military. Now, yes, the military in North Korea is indoctrinated into the Marxist, Leninist, Communist manifesto and the Das Kapital, you know, the Leninism, all of that commie stuff. And they know their commie, the military over there knows their commie backward and forward, up one side and down the next, okay?
All right, so the Army, if they're ideologically indoctrinated, they take over the government, they're still a communist government.
Yeah, ostensibly.
Aha, ostensibly, but in reality.
Well, in reality, it's a military dictatorship.
Aha, but then ostensibly.
Yeah, and then ostensibly, it's commie.
Okay. Then we already got both of those sides of that, so we don't have to go any further.
Okay, I see.
Okay, hold on. It is Harvey Wireman from his car, and sounds like he's on a stockyard somewhere or a rail yard.
What was all that gear grinding I heard?
Yeah, it sounds like he's down near a boxcar.
You want to buy him a boxcar?
No, he's not at a boxcar.
Well, this is going to sound ridiculous. He's not riding a boxcar home, is he?
No, he's in a car, man. He's in a car. It sounds like he just went by a train. All right, we'll be back with Harvey Wireman as we continue discussing the North Korean, was it an attempted coup, or was it just another day at the office for the Korean leadership when they execute one more person, another human being who was apparently trying to, or at least was plotting or trying to foment a military coup, or perhaps just a civilian uprising and replacing of the present regime. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, Don Berman on the closing of Hollywood Park. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Don's on his way over to where? Corky?
Yeah.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Harvey Wireman with us here as we continue discussing events in North Korea. We have Don Berman next hour on the closing of Hollywood Park, one of the premier horse racing tracks. And Don himself, a big racing fan, so it'll be interesting to talk to him and get his perspective on that. I just heard that today, as a matter of fact.
Where did you get the news?
I was actually looking at a post by Ted Ziegenbusch.
What is the man's name?
Ted Ziegenbusch is a well-known L.A. radio personality. He's a music a disc jockey on the coast here in Los Angeles.
Well, what in the name of God, and is the name Ziegenbusch? Is this what he calls himself?
That's his name, you know.
Well, why didn't he change it for showbiz purposes?
I think it's great that he kept his real name.
There's also the possibility that is a showbiz name, that his real name is Bill Pryor or something, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, but I doubt it.
Well, that would be... So you're telling me, Harvey, the man's name is Bill Pryor, and, oh, I think I'll change my name to something showbizzy. And he changes it to Ziggin.
Ted Ziegenbusch, maybe. Well, I dare not say.
Don't you dare say what you're going to say. Well, I might as well say it because no one's asking what he was going to say.
I don't want to hear it, okay? And I know what you're going to say. It's Jewish?
Yeah, maybe he changed it to a Jewish name.
Wait a second, you moron. How do you know that? Ziegenbusch sounds kraut. I shouldn't say kraut. It sounds German. Now, yes, there are German Jews, but that doesn't sound like a German Jewish name. That sounds like a German jerk. It sounds like a Jewish German name, but not a German Jew. Well, it doesn't sound to me like it's Jewish. Let's just start there.
Well, does it sound German?
Now, it does sound German, but it could also be Swiss. You see, I found out something the other day that there was a Swiss. A guy that I thought was German was Swiss. You know, and that kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Okay, what about it?
What do you mean, what about it?
Is that it?
Yeah, that was it. That's enough. And a guy, you think a guy's a German and he turns out to be Swiss? That's like going from thinking the guy's the Prince of Darkness to the guy is an elf sitting on a Christmas ornament saying good morning to you with a little hat and a feather. You understand?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying I knew a guy.
No, we know you knew a guy that was German, and you found out he was Swiss.
Yes.
And that somehow rocked your world.
Yeah, it rocked my... Are you ready for this, General?
Well, I'm not clear yet, but I'm ready to jump on your side as soon as I understand what you're talking about.
Oh, is that right? Listen to me, and listen good. The guy was a German. I thought he was. Then I found out he was Swiss.
Okay, and then what?
And then I felt relieved, and then I... What do you mean, and then what? Then I sat down, I went, oh, God, thank you. I thought I was dealing with Hitler, and instead I'm dealing with the Swiss winemaker. You people really crack... I think you're serious. You actually are serious. You're that dumb.
Look at Harvey, I don't know what is motivating you here.
Are you that dumb?
Am I that dumb to not understand that when you think a guy is German and then you find out he's Swiss, that's like going from Hitler to the Italian winemaker?
Yeah, the little old winemaker me. It's like going from Hitler to Geppetto there. Okay, does that help you?
Oh, okay, I understand that. All right, and Geppetto's Swiss.
Yes, he's the guy that made that Pinocchio. You remember that, don't you?
Well, that wasn't real, Harvey.
Yes, Harvey, do you think that was a real event?
No, I don't think it was a real event. What I'm trying to tell you...
Will you calm down, man, because it sounds like you're going to have a stroke.
Don't ever tell me to calm down when I'm wound up. Don't ever do that. That'll make me get even more crazy. When you tell me that reminds me of my daughter. She'll say, oh, Dad, calm down. I'll say, okay, all bets are off. Now I'm going to have a stroke. Now I will have a stroke. Don't ever say calm down. When I met this guy...
Well, who was the guy?
I don't know. I think he was a client or something. You know, a guy came in for some pro bono charity, some bum. I didn't mean that. I mean,
So people that look for pro bono work are nothing more than slobs.
No, I didn't say that. You guys got me so crazy. The guy came in, and he says, yeah, Val, I got, you know, he's doing all that German. I said, yeah. I said, now, and I didn't ask him anything. I asked his name, and it was one of these names, you know. It was like Manstein or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be Jewish on account of the Stein part.
No, not necessarily, brain surgeon. Not necessarily. So he goes, yeah, and I said, okay. Now I find out, I see the guy's name, and I said, I checked with Johnny White at the Bar Association. I said, I got a new client, and I want to get you do a little nosing around. Where's this guy from?
Well, why were you nosing around about the client?
You never know. You never know.
Did you think the van had some Nazi past, or?
No, not necessarily. I want to find out whether the guy's got if he's got a criminal record that he's not telling me about. So, Johnny comes back and says, well, no, but the guy's from Switzerland. And I said, and Johnny said, well, where did he say he was from? I said, he didn't say, but I'm assuming he was German. And Johnny said, no, he's from Switzerland. He comes from Lake Geneva. And I just went, oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, I just... What's wrong with you, Phil? You still don't get it, huh?
No, okay. Let's pretend I do get it. Okay, so...
So I went from thinking that I was sitting down and breaking bread with and taking a check from and being on retainer to Adolf Hitler. And it turned out to be the guy that made that kid with the wooden nose, whatever that...
Geppetto.
Yeah, Geppetto from the Nokia, you know, the Pinocchio. Who makes the phone?
That's Nokia.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It's Nokia makes the phone, and the kid is named Pinocchio.
Oh yes, Phil's right. Pinocchio is the boy, and the phone is Pinocchio. Oh, not Pinocchio. I'm sorry. It's Nokia.
Yeah. Okay. So I said to this guy, I go, it's nice to meet you, and I said, I called him Geppetto by mistake because he came back the next day. I said, well, Geppetto, I said, and I did the joke, which everybody does. I said, and I hope that little kid you made, I hope he's not lying down one night and telling lies and your wife sits on him. It was very awkwardly told. And
that is such a juvenile and old joke, and you actually pulled it out on this guy.
Excuse me, Margaret, but I know how to conduct affairs with my clients, okay? Is that all right with you?
Yeah, but I agree with Margaret.
Who's that?
It's Phil Henry, the host of the show. You ready for this?
Do you even know what you're talking about, Phil?
I didn't know. I got Margaret in one ear and I got this railroad, this boxcar in the other ear. And
well, where are you?
I'm in a boxcar.
I thought...
You thought, yeah, the car broke down, so I had to hop a freight train. So I...
All right,
Well, why did you... Just because he's in a boxcar, you hung up on him? My God, is that elitist of you?
No, it's just... It's getting too weird. There comes a point when it just gets too weird. It's the one thing about this guy, you know, I got a client, he's from Germany, I thought it was Hitler, now it's Geppetto, and make sure that little kid doesn't tell lies and your wife sits on him. Okay, I understand, that's whack. Now we're in... Didn't we just wonder whether he was in a boxcar?
I did. I said, is he in a boxcar? And you said, ha, 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 no, he's not, he's in his car. And I felt humiliated, and now we find out he is.
You're right, General.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up about you, Mr. Henry.
Don't give me that bull crap, because you guys didn't think he was in a boxcar either. You thought he was in his car. All right, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're going to come back next hour with our good friend Don Berman. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. Gift subscriptions available and a two-tier subscription. Now you can either get audio only or all access. Check it out at philhenryshow.com. And also, it's a great place to shop, obviously, for Christmas for the Phil fan in your life.
Well, I shop there for the Phil fan in my life, and that's me.
Aren't you a sweetie?
That's right. You know, I'm not all bad, Phil. Just most of the time.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Yeah. All right. So,
Yo, it's hit the post, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. I mean, I was a disc jockey one time, man. Now, we have Don Berman out at Corky Downs in the fair city of Los Alamitos, so we're going to talk with him in just a moment. We are online at philhenryshow.com, and our number 855-500-7445. Don is down at Corky Downs there to, you know, talk with us about the closing of Hollywood Park. General, are you a horse racing fan?
You know, Phil, I've never had the opportunity to really look in, but I think it's a gorgeous sport, and I think it is just a wonderful sport, and I love watching it on the television, you know.
Well, I'm glad. I'm one person that would like to see horse racing go away. I don't like the way that they treat the animals, and I think that the horses are brutally treated.
Well, Margaret, we've had this discussion.
Yeah, I know, Phil, and you don't look like... you don't look like Cliff Drysdale to me just yet. Or who's the guy?
Don Drysdale.
Don Drysdale, yeah, the trainer?
No. Neil Drysdale. Cliff Drysdale is the tennis player. Neil Drysdale was the great horse racing trainer.
Well, who's Don Drysdale?
He was a baseball player.
Holy shit, that's quite a few people. Were they all related?
No, they were not related. Not at all. Neil Drysdale was a great... thoroughbred trainer.
Well, that's who I'm thinking of. Do you think you're Neil, whatever, Neil Rogers? I'm kidding.
I don't think I'm an expert at horse racing. Don Berman is there. Don, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. And don't worry, I'm here with a guy that you know, and Bobby Meacham is there. Do you remember Bob Meacham?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but hold on for a minute. Bobby wants to do. He's been reading that North Korea news. He wants to do his thing. Put that down, Bobby. Here.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Kim Jong-un, leader of North Korea, and...
Give me the phone. That's called the post. Go place the bet, will you? Go place the bet. You can come back and do the impression. I just heard the call to post. I heard the call to post, Phil.
All right, so do you have to go?
No, I don't have to go just yet, but Bobby's got to go place the bet. So you want to ask me a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a bunch of questions about your feelings as to...
Yeah, that's the parade. That's the post parade. Go ahead.
Hey, look, Don, I've been with you before, and I've talked to you in the air before when you're at the track, okay? So if you're going to be distracted...
No, I've got the race just went off. It's all right. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you, and Margaret's here, and General.
Yes, Don, the question I have about Hollywood Park is how do you feel...
Hold on. Here, come on. Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. I got the four. Did you get him? Up the next race. I got the four horse. It's, come on.
I'm sorry, Phil. Come on. Raising hell, raising hell, raising hell. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Down the backstretch, down the backstretch. Go to the whip, go to the whip, go to the whip, go to the whip, go to the whip. You filthy animal. This animal ought to be shot as soon as it goes across the finish line. Shoot it. Shoot it. What are you talking about, pal? You're the guy that gave me the tip.
What are you doing, Don?
What? Oh, God damn. This thing was leading three-quarters of the way, and it just put a bullet through it. Put a bullet through it. I'm sorry. Hold on, Phil. Hold on for just a minute, because I see the trainer here. Hey, you. Put a bullet through that thing, will you? Do me and every better and every handicapper. You go to hell.
Hey, Don, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Why? No. No, you can't let me go because I got L. Ron Martin listening.
Well, L. Ron Martin just heard you tell a trainer to go to hell.
Well, you know, at least L. Ron Martin knows that I'm on the job and I'm promoting Channel 19 News at 10 and 11.
That's how I was able to get over here to go to the track in the first place.
What?
It's how I was able to go out to the track in the first place. And if L. Ron Martin is listening, I'm Don Berman and Channel 19 News kicks ass.
Well, all right, so are we going to be able to talk, or are...
Yeah, we can talk now. I just got hosed. I just got raped. Didn't that let Bobby just put the bet down? All right. Now, here's Bobby Meacham, because he was listening to the whole... What? Yeah, he was listening to the whole thing you did on North Korea. Go ahead, Bobby.
Mr. Henry, this is Kim Jong-il, and I'm telling you that... There it is again.
Okay, now we got another post call. It's another... Go ahead, do it.
Kim Jong-il, and I tell you that the revolution of People's Republic of North Korea is out of sight, and it's sponsored by Miller Lite. So we have a revolution, and here's the man now.
Yes, I'm the man with the Miller Lite beer.
Give me the phone back. I'm sorry, Phil, but I've got it. I tell you what.
Why don't you watch your race, and we'll talk to Bobby.
That's what you do. That's what you... Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah. Kim Jong-il.
Bobby, whore.
You are a whore if you don't win. You're a whore. It means you spread for men if you don't win. You spread for men if you don't win. God!
What is up with that guy?
I'll give it.
Sorry, Phil. I got a quarter of the way. My horse got a quarter of the way around the track, and I knew it was over. Look at that thing. You know what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Horse racing is fixed. I hope they shut it down. I really do hope they shut it down. I think the whole thing's fixed. I haven't had a winner, like the man said, a horse, my kingdom for a horse, I haven't had a winner in 6 months. You remember that one, Phil?
I remember that one from Raging Bull, yeah.
You like that one? What do you mean, Raging Bull? I wrote that.
No, you didn't, because I heard that joke in Raging Bull.
A horse, my kingdom for a horse, I haven't had a winner in 6 months?
That's right.
Oh, you're lying.
You know something? When you go to the track, you turn into a complete ass. You know that? Did anybody ever tell you that?
Yeah. About three ex-wives. So you think you're telling me something I don't know? Look, Phil, let's get to what it was you wanted to talk about.
Oh, unless we hear the call to post again, and then you have to, you know, watch the race.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I'm here representing Channel 19 News, watching the waning days. Now, I'm not in Hollywood Park. I'm over at Corky Downs, which was named, by the way, for the young man on that program, Life Goes On. And I think a lot of people make fun of that, but I think it was a very classy move. Corky Downs, and this is where we all meet. Someone said, and I thought it was very bad taste, someone said, well, sure, you call it Corky Downs, because everyone that goes to the track there does about as well betting horses as he would. And I said to them, well, guess what? What if the guy was a genius? What if he was a genius at handicapping horses? We don't know. And that's when the guy said to me, yeah, sure, and that's when I...
Who were you talking to?
I forget, some guy. All right. Phil, Hollywood Park will be going the way of the dodo bird on December the 22nd, and I can't even begin to tell you the memories that that place holds for me.
Oh, come on, will you?
I'm sorry, Phil, but there's the...
Well, all right, we got a break coming up.
Phil, why don't you just go into your break? Your voice sounds really... It's as rough as mine.
You're right. We're going to go into a break, okay, Don?
Put down across the board.
Okay, Don, we're going to go into a break.
Quinella. Don! Yeah, and then across the board, and we'll do the...
Don!
Now that whore can't run.
Don!
Well, why are you talking to him?
I don't care. I mean, Channel 19 called me up. He didn't. They wanted me to get him on the air so they can promote their 10 o'clock news.
Oh, so that's what it is. One hand washing the other, huh? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
What's that mean?
Well, it means that if you do something for me, and that's the relationship that Mr. Henry has with Channel 19 News. It's a quid pro quo, isn't it, Phil?
No, I didn't think so. I mean, I didn't even know. I knew I know Don. I didn't know that. Who took the call, anyway?
I took the call with the guy from Channel 19, and he said he was a public relations that get on Don Berman tonight. I said, yeah, we'll get Don Berman on tonight. Talk about how the guy said, yeah. I said, okay, we usually talk to Don.
Yeah, we usually talk to Don. So this guy's talking to you? Who is he?
He's the press relation.
No, it's public relation.
Public relation from Channel 19.
Yeah.
All right. so Don's out there. Maybe by the time we get back on the air with him, he will have exhausted his money supply and we can talk to him. I don't know. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So we'll get back here and talk more about Hollywood Park. The closing of Hollywood Park. Maybe we'll hear Don win a race. Who knows? Maybe Don's handicapping will improve.
I am very offended by what he calls those horses. This is why horse racing is cruel.
Why? Because he calls them whores?
Oh, you know, Phil, don't be a smartass.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret?
This is Sergio Mendez. I love this. This is Mascanada. Here it is. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Uba, uba, uba.
What are you singing?
I don't know, Bud. It's... listen, Lanny Hall is the singer. She's just gorgeous. She's married to Herb Alpert, Phil. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Here it is right here. Mascanada. You see, you don't have to learn how to speak Portuguese. You can just...
fake it.
Don't give me that look, Phil. Listen, isn't this gorgeous?
Margaret, I don't think that works.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. I will not... I'm in the middle of a performance, General.
I'm just saying I don't think that works when you're...
Margaret, it's Portuguese.
Oh, really? Well, isn't that I thought it was Martian talk. I know it's Portuguese, Phil.
All right, and you're going... and all that.
Pretty funny.
You know, it is.
You know, I'm going to the bathroom and I'm going to sit on the toilet and do something I've been needing to do all day. Go ahead and laugh.
Well, do you blame us? I mean,
what's he doing?
I don't know, man. Just because you don't know a language doesn't mean you can fake it by going goo goo doo goo lu boo goo goo. Margaret, you got a beautiful voice. Everybody loves your voice.
Yeah, that's right. Sure you do.
But you can't sing that song unless you know the language, or unless you know at least the words.
I was approximating. Never mind.
You got to close the door. Mr. Henry said you got to close the door.
I can't hear the show if the door's closed.
I want the door closed, please. I don't want bathroom doors open.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. All right, let's get to Don Berman here, Channel 19 News, on the line with us here from the Corky Downs in Los Alamitos, California, where they have night racing, and we're talking about the closure of Hollywood Park. Don, let's start, first of all, what are they going to put there?
Well, so the word that I have is that Hollywood Park is going to become like so many of these marvelous old athletic and sports institutions and installations, if you will. There's going to be homes there. There's going to be townhomes there. There's going to be apartments there. There will be some commercial space. My information is they are going to make Hollywood Park into a community of the future. And I'm ignoring it. No, go ahead, Bobby. Just place the bet like I told you to. I'm ignoring it. I'm ignoring it. I've got to talk to Phil. And it's going to be, it's going to be a place where sort of a community of the future.
A community of the future.
Yes, meaning that the new designs and the new ways of cohabitation, etc. But when you talk about Hollywood Park, Phil, you're talking about a horse racing track that goes back to 1938 and began at the tail end of the Depression. It saw its glory days through the 40s on through the 70s and part of the 80s. It began to tail out. as all of horse racing began to suffer with the... Hold on for a minute. Look at that. Where's blue and red? Three horse. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I'm just hold on, Phil. Just a couple of seconds.
Go ahead.
Come on, baby. Blue and red. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Get him off the rail. Get him off the rail. What's he doing?
Got him off the rail.
Tell him, get him off the rail, okay? Who's riding that horse? Ryerson. Oh, not that bum. Oh, that guy's a bum. Come on, Ryerson. For once in your life, win a race. For once in your life, win a race. For once in your life, one race. One, Rousey. What a bum. They ought to take you out and shoot you, man. Who's the trainer of that? Hey, Wapham. Is that him? Hey, Wapham. When you're done shooting the horse, shoot Ryerson, too. I'm telling you.
Okay, you done with your race?
What's that?
Are you done with your race?
Yeah, Phil, I'm done with my race. I'm done getting raped for the fourth time tonight, sure. Okay, so let's just...
You know, Don, like I said, we can hang up and talk to somebody else about this.
Who are you going to talk to? I'm talking about Hollywood Park, right?
Yes.
All right. God. I Phil, I'm sorry. I haven't had a winner tonight.
I know. You're a horse, my kingdom for a horse.
Yeah, I haven't had a winner in 6 months. All right, so as I was saying, Hollywood Park was an institution through the 40s on into the 70s and 80s. And Hollywood Park, Phil, as its name connotes, was a home to a great many stars and of stage and screen. It was a place where you could go to see and be seen, as they say. Some of the world's great horses ran there, Phil. Every horse from Secretariat, Citation, Spectacular Bid, Silky Sullivan, you name them all, Phil, they all raced there. And all the great jockeys were there, from Lafitte Pinkeye, Willie Shoemaker, Eddie Arcaro, Johnny Longdon. The name and the greatness of the place goes on. And to see Hollywood Park close is a very hurtful thing. I'm ignoring the post call.
Well, that's what you told me the last race.
Yeah, that's what you told me, didn't answer it.
Can we act like adults?
You're on the air.
I know I'm on the air, but you're forcing me into... So, as I was saying, and I'm being as adult as I can be for a man who is... I mean, face it, you know, I'm just taking it repeatedly in the shower. And I'm,
can we not use terminology like that? It is very ugly.
I apologize, but that's how I feel. Buddy, go place the bet. Get lost and place a bet, will you?
Well, you know, you talk to people. That's Bobby Meacham, one of the funniest guys in town.
Yeah, well, he ain't funny tonight. He's not making me laugh. How did he do, by the way, with that Korean thing?
It was funny. I mean, I couldn't really understand it because you kept grabbing the phone away from him.
Oh, my fault, too. Okay. Boy, I'm screwing everything up tonight. So
now, what do you think of horse racing, the future of horse racing?
The future of horse racing? I hope they never race another race again as long as they all live. I hope every horse dies of a heart attack. Honest to God, Phil, I hope every horse dies of a heart attack and the jockey on top of it. That's how I feel.
Now, I'm not asking you your mood tonight. I'm asking you what the...
Hold on. I'm sorry. This is the last one. I swear to God. I swear to Almighty God, Phil.
You're lying.
No, I swear to God. Come on. Brevard. Is this Brevard? Okay, Brevard, come on, baby.
Did you bet all the races up front?
No. Bobby's making a run. Come on, baby. Brevard. Come on, he's getting pinned on the rail now. Look at him. He's right on the rail. He pinned him on the rail. Who's on that horse? God, Pierce, I'll swear to God, if I could come down there and strangle your little midget ass, I would. Come on, get him off the rail. He's pinned on the rail. Look at that, will you? Beat. You know what he ought to do is he ought to hit the other guy. That's what I was saying, yeah. Just take your whip and hit the other jockey. Hit him in the eyes if you have to, right in the eyes. Hit him across the face with the whip. Whatever you got to do, please. Your mother and your grandmother and your grand, every last one of them, top dollar, USDA pride, Storyville District, New Orleans. God!
Okay, I guess that means the Storyville, was that the, let me see, was that the,
Yeah, that's the brothel section, yeah. Way to spit it out.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. It's been very,
Yeah, you know what?
You got your station manager, L. Ron Martin, listening to this.
Hey, L. Ron, I'm doing the best I can. I'm taking it with a baseball bat here. Dry. You got to understand.
I was, thank God you did that, because if you hadn't, I was going to file an official complaint with David G. Hall for sexual harassment.
Why?
Because of the things that man was saying.
Margaret, you can't. I understand it's hard to hear, but this is a radio show. You're going to hear a lot. This is the purpose of a radio show. If you're going to hear anything like that, you might as well hear it on a radio show.
Oh, that's great. Come on, you whore. He's pinned to the rail. Your grandmother, your mother, they're all whores.
Well, I'm...
So I tell you, well, that does not sound like a man that's doing very well betting the ponies tonight.
No, but Mr. Berman never does well.
He always eats crap. Never.
Why'd that guy do that?
He's like a lot of gamblers.
Well, are you saying he has a gambling problem?
I don't know. I don't know any. I know that I know he had a drinking problem. I know he had a drug problem. I know that he was with underage girls. I mean, this guy, there isn't anything this guy has done that surprises me. And everything that he's done has been, you know, quasi-legal. So if you ask me, yeah, you know, I think that the guy is, I think there's a problem there. I mean, I think that he's got a gambling problem. So, Don Berman, thank you very much, Don. You know, we got a whole half hour, and I do want to talk a little bit more about Hollywood Park, but let's get Larry Grover back on.
Well, Mr. Berman, he's calling back.
Oh, tell him I don't want to talk to him if he's going to be betting on ponies, okay?
He don't want to talk to you if you're betting on a pony. He don't want to talk to you if you're betting on a pony, what? Ponies, yeah. He wants to talk to you.
No, I'm on the air, man.
It's on the air. He says he's listening to the show right now, can hear all of me talking, and there's dead air, and you're listening. And he says it sounds worse than it usually does. And he says, give me that phone. Hey, Don, I'm on the air right now. I'll talk to you during the break, okay? Bye. No. Bye. All right, folks. Okay, so that was great. We will take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Maybe we ought to come up with some kind of a horse racing...
You should come up with a jockey silk, a jockey outfit that people can wear.
Sure.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Get your jockey outfit. Alright, so it's good rocking tonight. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and just to let you know, we're going to be filming an episode of Mark Maron's show, Maron. That's right, in early January, so look for me on that. And we'll be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest on January the 26th. When we get the official time, I'll let y'all know. Because it's going to be fun, you know.
Yeah.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back.
Yeah, man.
All right. All right, and we have on the line with us R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. He has called to, you talk to him, bud.
Yeah, he wants to volunteer his expertise on a horse, because he says Don Berman's out of control, and he's a degenerate gambler.
Wow. All right, so we'll get R.C. on the line here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. It is 855-500-7445, and R.C. on the line with us from Bradley Military Academy in Alhambra. Now, is Don Berman there?
Don, Bobby Meacham said Don's off. He's at, what is it, Bobby? He's in a can. He's tapping a kidney.
Great, tapping a kidney. Okay, R.C.
Hi, Mr. Henry. I'm honored to be on. I wanted to call up, and I wanted to, you know, volunteer my services for talking about Hollywood Park, because Mr. Berman is a degenerate gambler. And that's not just my opinion, that's Watson's opinion too, right, Watson?
Okay, let's not call him a degenerate gambler, let's just say, just give me your opinion of what's happening at Hollywood. Let me ask you a question. First of all, R.C., how is it that you became so well-versed in horse racing?
Well, I went to the horse racings with my dad. We went to Santa Anita, we went to Del Mar. My dad had a box at Del Mar. Have you ever been in a box? Have you ever been in a box?
What are you talking about, a box?
I'll ask the questions, okay?
Let me talk to him, will you, bud? God, have I been in a... Yes, I've been in a at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a box.
Yeah, it's really great because you can sit in the box and they only let certain people in and you don't have to sit with other people. And then they have the guy come by and he gives you drinks and everything.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's a great way to watch. So your dad has that, huh?
Yeah, my dad has a box at Del Mar and he had a box at Santa Anita, but I don't think he had a box there no more.
And,
Can I ask a question, R.C.? How is it that you go to a college prep school and you say things like, a box no more?
Well,
Phil, Don Berman here, and I'm back. I just I went to the bathroom. I've been needing to go to the bathroom all day. I heard Margaret say she's going to do something she's meant to do all day, and guess what? I actually did it. So, Margaret, I follow through.
Hold on, because I'm talking to R.C. Collins, so hold the phone, okay?
Yeah, he's talking to me now, Berman.
Wait, whoa. Who are you?
My name's R.C. Collins, Berman, and he's talking to me.
Well, don't call me Berman. Who is he, Phil?
He's a young man who called up to talk about horse racing and Hollywood Park because...
Whoa. What do you mean he called up? I'm the guy that's on the air to talk about the horse racing.
Then talk about it instead of the horse you're betting.
What? Hold on. Will you hold on for a minute?
That's what... Maybe he's been doing that through the whole show. He's been holding on.
Hey, why don't you shut up, okay, kid? Did you get the bet down? Okay, good. Hold on, kid. I know about Hollywood Park. You don't know. I bet you I've spilt more than you've drunk, okay?
Well, yeah, okay. You've spilt, unless you're licking it off the table.
What? What is this kid? Boy, what a smartass. He's got nothing to say. All right, here we go. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on, laddie boy. Come on, laddie boy. Come on, laddie boy, you come on, laddie boy, you dirty whore. Come on, laddie boy, you lousy slut. Come on, laddie boy. Come on, you piece of crap. 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 God.
Lose?
What do you think, Mr. Andrew? Yeah, I think you lost, didn't you, Berman?
Hey, kid, do you want to die? Because I can find out where you live. I'm in a newsroom, and we have access to a computer, and I can look you up and find out where...
Don?
Sounds like he's crying.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Mr. Henry, I wouldn't doubt if Mr. Berman's crying. He's probably crying like a bitch. You know, just like the bitches did the horse that...
Hey. You know, kid, now I'm going to make a personal project out of finding out where you live and kicking your ass around the block for drill.
Okay, Don, that is a publicly uttered threat on the air. You know that that's a federal offense, so take it back.
I take it back.
Yeah, you know what? It's a new day, Mr. Berman. We don't stand for no terrorism.
Hey, what are you talking about, terrorism? I'd actually be doing the world a favor. I'd be doing America and the free world a favor by kicking your rear end, which I don't mean that I'm going to do.
Okay, so are we all done with this and we're going to continue talking about...
Hold on, there's the call to post.
Yeah, there's the call to post. He's got to go get another losing Quinella bet down.
Oh, I want to hurt you. Get the bet down. Don't forget about the kid that's on the air.
So anyway, Mr. Henry, Hollywood Park was founded in 1938.
Whoa. I'm the one that's going
to
do it.
Hold on, Don. I can get your opinion. I'm listening to R.C.
Don.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Hollywood Park was formed in 1938.
What do you mean, formed? What are you talking about, formed? What's that mean? It was like the Grand Canyon?
Hollywood Park was formed in 1938. I'm just going to ignore him, okay, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
Hollywood Park was...
La-la-la-la-la-la.
Don, cut it out.
What an ass. Hollywood Park was formed in 1938 by a contingency of investors, one of whom was Bing Crosby, who is the singer.
Bing Crosby, you moron.
And... Hollywood Park went on to become a famous racetrack where the greatest races in the world was run. Hollywood Park fell on difficult financial times when the park was bought by another contingent of investors, and they found they could not continue to float the money that was necessary to keep the park open. It was at that time...
Hold on. Yeah.
Another race?
No, I'm just looking at... Yeah, how you doing, huh? How are you? Don Berman, Channel 19 News, how do you do? Don Berman, Channel 19 News.
Go ahead, R.C.
Hollywood Park eventually fell into receivership, at which time it was purchased by another group of investors with an eye toward developing the land for commercial and residential enhancement. And that's what happened. And a degenerate gambler...
Kid, you call me a degenerate gambler one more time.
Well, what do you think you are, being on the radio? Mr. Henry wants to talk to you, and you're going all...
Phil, are you all done with me? Because I'll hang up now.
Okay, I mean, if you want to.
Hold on. Just one more race. What horse is this? The Pink Silk. I told you never bet Pink Silks. Bobby, what is it? Fool's Gold. Yeah, that's great. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, Fool's Gold. Come on, Fool's Gold. Oh, baby. Come on, Fool's Gold. You know, I give up.
That sounds like the call to post. Were you sure you were watching a race?
What was I watching? Oh, it's a replay of last. There was a replay of the last race. God, I hate you.
All right, I'm going to let you go then, okay?
Let me go where? You're going to let me go hang myself? You're going to let me go shoot myself? Or are you going to let me go?
Okay, that's all I can take of Don Berman. So, RC, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to let Don go because he cannot stay focused, you know.
That's a man with problems, I'll tell you that.
Well, now, you know, I have to tell you, I enjoy horse racing, but I, as I said to you, Phil, I haven't been able to actually attend a race. I watch it on television, but I had no idea that it was that addictive.
Oh, General Shaw, I didn't know you were there. This is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy.
That's nice. Good for you. So, you don't remember R.C.? He's a young man in a military academy. Yeah, he's a young man in the military. Are you the one? Is that Commandant Wireman's place?
Yes, sir. That's Commandant Wireman.
Yeah. You know that he beat me out for a place in the Adjutant General's office back in Washington, D.C., so I'm not very kindly disposed to you, your academy, or that guy, Wireman, who also is an attorney from San Marino. I don't get that guy at all. He's got like 9 jobs.
Well, he's a very busy man, General, but I still do admire you and everything.
Well, of course you do. Thank you.
Except when you pull your pants down, you ought to be put in a nut house.
What did he do?
He hung up. It was a crank call.
Well, what a crank. It was a good call until General Shaw started giving him a hard time.
Yeah, it's General Shaw's fault.
I merely was telling that boy something he should have been listening to for a long time.
Well, you were embarrassing him a little bit, General. There's no need for that. You could have simply said, oh, thank you very much, R.C. It's wonderful that you're saying so. And boo, 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 you know, whatever. But instead you pointed out the fact that his commandant did something to you.
Well, I'll tell you, he did. And I was up for a promotion to a brigadier something. I forget what they called it.
General?
It might have been general. It was a lieutenant colonel. I was going to be a lieutenant or a brigadier or something. I know they were adding a star.
Okay, so you're a general and you were going up in grade.
Right, but whatever. And so along comes this guy, Wireman, who looks me up and down because he was a superior rank at the time. He looks me up and down. He says, salute when you see a superior officer. I said, as soon as I see a superior officer, I will salute. Well, you know, that cost me. I got a reduction in grade. I was called before the man. I had to stand tall before the man.
Boy, that's a pretty wise-ass thing to say.
Can generals do that to each other?
Well, that one did to me.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, so I had to stand tall before the man, and he took a giant dump on me. So that was that for a year.
Oh, God.
You know. Well, I know you don't appreciate it, Margaret, but that's the life that we lead. You know, and as Hyman Roth said in The Godfather, I tell myself, this is the life that I chose.
Very good.
Yay!
Why don't you guys stick it?
I'm not being sarcastic. That was a very nice speech. All right, but we do have to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Don Berman, for your, you know, marvelous insights. Thank you, R.C. Collins, for your marvelous insights. Thank you very much, General, wherever the hell you went. We'll be right back. World-famous. We've got a little more background on Hollywood Park and, you know, anything else we can think of. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Margaret, you wanted to illustrate something here before we get back to...
Well, yes, I want to illustrate something. This is Sergio Mendez. Now, you're making fun of me, but listen to the thick accent. He sounds like he just crawled off the banana boat. Oh, my God, and you're making fun of me?
That sounds good, though, because everybody know he come off a banana boat.
Doesn't sound like he just came off a banana. He's got a little bit of an accent.
Well, I think it's a very charming voice, but I do notice do you think that'd be something that immigration would have to take note of? Would ICE take note of that? That's the first question.
Would ICE take note of what?
The accent, Phil. Are you now? Listen to this. Lottie. See, that's an American accent, you see. You're not going to notice that. Do, 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 do.
He's going to the fair.
Ooh, I love the jazzy feel and yet the very, you know, the very jazz feel.
Yeah, the jazz feel.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off before I start crying.
What's wrong, Margaret?
Talking to you people about music, it's like talking to a monkey about flying through space.
Yeah, but in the start of 2001, the monkey did go into space. What's so funny?
You know, Bud, I honest to God. Give it a break, Phil, will you?
Oh, it's just too funny, man. I'm telling you. That was the Bud, I love you, man.
What was so funny about that?
What do you mean at the beginning of 2001?
Talking about when a monkey threw that thing in the air?
What?
The monkey tossed the thing in the air, man. He didn't go into space.
The monkey tossed that log?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Would you stop and start behaving like an adult? What are you talking about?
At the beginning of 2001.
Yes, there's monkeys at the beginning of 2001. And they're definitely, you know, there in the movie, but they didn't go into space.
That's what I mean, Bud. Talking to you is like talking to an orangutan about supersonic flight. In fact, I bet you I'd get better answers from the Tang.
What do you mean the Tang?
That is, you, oh my God, I'm talking to idiots.
That's the shorthand for, you didn't know that? For orangutan in the scientific world.
Tang? Dang?
Yes, Tang.
Yeah, that's the shorthand.
You know what? I swear to God, I'm going to start kicking some ass because you guys are kidding me.
Phil, do I look like I'm kidding? That is shorthand in the scientific world for orangutan. All right, I'm going to go and walk it off. I got to take a walk. Otherwise, I'm going to start throwing hands.
See ya.
You keep laughing like a little girl, Phil.
Hey, Margaret, you know, don't be messing with me, okay?
Well, Phil, you owe it to yourself. Everything gets out of control.
General, sir. Margaret wanted me to open the segment with that song. Okay, great, we open the segment with the song. Then she starts talking about, and I didn't know she was going to do that. I thought she wanted to sing it. She starts talking about Sergio Mendez's thick accent. He sounds like he just got off the banana boat, which, that's the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, you can't deny the guy sounds banana boat.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's got a slight accent. Sergio Mendez has traveled the world as a musician. He speaks probably like more languages than you and I would ever. He's been to every country in the world. He's thoroughly educated in the English language. He's been on American TV. What are you talking about?
Well, then, yes, all right. But then Margaret pointed out that she was an American.
Good for her. Wow. Woo! So she's an American. So then she starts talking about, and then she gets all pissed off. And then she says to Bud something about talking to, Bud is like talking to a monkey. Bud comes back with the whole thing on spaceships. She tells me that the short for orangutan is Tang in the science.
Phil, I think you're overwrought. I think you're overworked. I think you need a vacation.
Who's that happy? That's true.
What are you guys talking about? I'm not the one that's... Am I the one that got up and walked out of here?
Yeah, you look like you're all in a heap. Like you made me...
Phil, I think you need a vacation. I think you need to get the hell out of here. Go away somewhere. Have a few drinks. Put on one of those straw hats and wear some baggy surfer shorts or something. You know, and dig a sandcastles and... Have a bunch of kids bury you in the sand, you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's what you need. And you need to get some sun, for God's sake. You look like you look like a vampire. You're so white.
Well.
Yeah, you gotta do that. Do it right away.
Yeah, okay, Bud. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm serious.
What do you guys... Okay, fine. We're taking the week off between Christmas and New Year's. I'll do it then. But I'm telling you, I've never heard of that. All right, so...
You've never heard of Tang.
Are you back now?
Yes, I am back. In the scientific world, you can ask Frank if you want.
You know, I
No, you don't have to get on my arm.
Get on Mavis. Get Mavis on.
Well, why Mavis? Why not Frank?
Because I want a neutral voice, and the more you fight for Frank, the more I know I ought to have Mavis on now.
Yeah, get my eye on. She knows.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I do. Now I'm really convinced it's a good idea. Get her on the line, and we'll talk to Mavis Leonard about this. Phil Henry Show here, 855-500-7445. Hollywood Park shutting down. Will horse racing be next is the headline. And that hurts to see a headline like that. If you enjoy horse racing as I have, I grew up around it. That's the only reason, folks. It's like growing up near Ebbets Field, or I suppose it's like growing up just around a sport that is played, that is practiced, that the culture of the city, you know. And in my little town of Arcadia, up in the San Gabriel Mountains, we had the, not only do we have Santa Anita, but we had the Turf Association, which was the jockeys, the jockeys union, I think, and they had their a building there. It was like a place where they had banquets, and there was it's kind of like a clubhouse for the jockeys. All of the hotels that line Colorado Boulevard there, as it led into Arcadia, then out of Arcadia, all of them were catered to people who were coming into town for the racing. And the Breeders' Cup and the Santa Anita Derby and the Santa Anita Handicap. And it goes all the way back to horses like Seabiscuit, all the way on up to the present. So, gosh, I'd hate to see that go away.
Santa Anita is gorgeous, though.
Yeah, well, Santa Anita is the most beautiful track in the world. I don't think I've ever seen a horse racing track anywhere in the world that's as gorgeous as our track there, because the backdrop are those beautiful mountains. You see, the San Gabriel Mountains are there. And it's a wonderful place. But the thing that has really hammered horse racing, everybody knows that's in the business, is that the $2 bettor, who was the bread and butter of horse racing.
Now, what do you mean by $2 bettor?
That's the lowest bet you can make.
Yeah, that's like $2 the lowest one.
All right.
Okay, so those people are going off to Indian gaming. Those people are going off to the casinos. They're going off to the slot machines. They're going off to... It's a lot easier to sit on your ass and just punch a button, feeding quarters into a machine, than reading a racing form and going, gee, what was the work and how did he do it 6 furlongs? You know, that kind of thing. And I'm sad because that's part of the fun of horse racing, to handicap the horses, to look at the history of the horse, the racing history, the workout history, the jockeys, the trainers. I think it's the culture. And I don't know if there's any way of downsizing horse racing.
Well, we're going to downsize horse racing. You can't make the horses as big as it's going to be.
He's not talking about making the horse smaller. Oh, my God.
But I ain't talking about...
What? You mean a horse? Like a not a midget.
You can make a horse as small as a jockey.
You can't make the horse as small as a jockey. So don't even start with me, okay? Downsizing, I meant, is there a way that the sport itself just becomes a less lucrative, less expensive sport to, support? I don't know. We'll be back next hour, Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Pardon me, I may be fighting off what could very well be a little bit of a cold. I don't know. Woo! Yeah. All right. So I think we're good. Welcome back to the show. This hour we will revisit our discussion on Kim Jong-un and what happened there.
And I want to ask a question. This is Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah. But I will introduce my panel. Margaret Gray.
Hello.
Robert Leonard.
Yeah.
And Bud Dickman.
Hi everybody. I'm Bud Dickman.
And General Shaw.
Yes. Now, you were going to have on the Mrs. Leonard, correct?
Yeah, you're going to have my aunt on, Phil.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We were going to have her on. I forget what we were going to ask her about, though. Do you remember, Nikki, what we were going to ask Mrs. Leonard about? Probably I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm totally spacing on it now.
I don't remember either. All I know is that I felt very insulted by the fact that you were going to have her on, because it was something that I was going to comment on, and...
No, what are we going to have on, Robert?
I don't know. You just told me to have my aunt on.
Oh, man, are you guys kidding me? Well, we got her on the other line, so we might as well get her on the phone here. Mavis Leonard, she is the aunt of Robert Leonard, who is our head of security and also one of our engineers here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Mavis, nice to speak with you, dear. How are you? Mavis, how are you?
Yeah.
Audie, you on the radio now.
Oh, all right, Phil. Hello, Phil. I had my radio turned up. I'm so very sorry.
No. That's okay. How are you doing?
I feel great. I'm doing wonderful. And I love, just want to say I love my nephew, Robert, very much. That was very nice of you to go get that extra case of Henry Weinhardt. Because I looked in that him and his hoodlum friend.
My friend is not a hoodlum.
Him and his hoodlum friend. Don't you? I know what I'm talking about. Had drunk it up.
The Henry Weinhardt?
Yeah, the Henry Weinhardt. And I'm walking down the back to the house because I went to the store.
Are you out walking right now?
Yes, I'm out walking right now. You think I don't have two legs on me that I can't walk on down the stairs?
Yeah, but it's dark out.
Is it dark out? Phil, did you know the sun goes down and it gets dark? I know it's dark out, fool. I went down to get a Henry White. The man down there said that you'd already been in about a case. If you'd have told me, I wouldn't be out walking around.
So you went down to the store to get a case of Henry Weinhardt, which Robert had already replaced.
I told you I'd replace that if you would have asked.
If I would have asked, that's great. Next time I'll remember that. Hey, Robert, did you replace that case of Henry Weinhardt? By the time I catch up with you to ask you, I'll be dying of thirst. All right? I'll be parched, crawling through the desert trying to get me a drink. A good, cool drink of Henry Weinhardt ale, which I love, Phil. And I don't know if you know that. I love my Henry Weinhardt ale. And I thought, certainly, I know the general is talking about another weapon that he likes, but I am very, very partial to the round Dorito.
Yeah, we like that. Also, that Johnny and barbecue sauce.
No, I like the salsa sauce. Man, you are stupid. You know, Robert, I'll tell you something. I love my sister very much, your mother. You are dumb. You are really stupid. You don't know. You are just dumb.
You told me that the barbecue sauce?
Wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
What she dipped a chip in is barbecue sauce.
I don't dip the chip. Are you listening to this, Jack Ball?
Well, you don't dip a chip in barbecue. You put the chip in.
Slow down, General, because I think you're on my side on this one, right?
Yes, I am, Mavis. And the chip goes into the bag.
No, after you take the chip out to eat the chip.
You've taken the chip out. Well, then it goes into a salsa.
There you go. General, I love you very much.
Well, I love you. Thank you.
Yes. Did you hear that, Robert?
Well, I know it goes in a salsa. God.
All right, Robert, don't start squealing like a pig under a gate. Do you hear this is my nephew. He is the son of my dear departed sister. And he goes, I know. You sound like something out of a cartoon. Where they do all them little midget boys and everything. But still, I'm very happy you have me on your program.
Okay, there's something really weird. What's going on here, bud?
Oh, you got it on there, man.
Oh, you know what? I gotta do something with our on-air computer is freaking me out, man. We've got, like, multiple frames or something. So we're talking to Mavis Leonard here on The Phil Henry Show.
What do you mean your on-air computer freaking you out? Because that when you say it freaked you out, it's freaking me. It's starting to freak me out.
No, I'm sorry. Our on-air computer was on the Phil TV video cast itself. So what was happening was we were getting this repetition of images that I'm sure you've seen in a mirror. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Take a mirror and look at the infinite images?
Did I ever do one?
Did you ever, anybody on the panel can answer this one, when you were a little kid, didn't you ever take a mirror and put it in the, and look at yourself in the mirror and see all those infinite, what do you people look, did you do that?
I'm not sure I understand.
What, Phil, give us a description, get us close to what it is you're saying.
When you were a kid and you looked in the mirror with a mirror and you could see the infinite images.
Well, no, I know what you're saying, Phil, the infinite. And the beyond, yes?
The infinite and the beyond.
You're talking about God. If you're talking about God, you're talking my talk. If you're talking about God, you're talking my talk, because I know God. And I can speak God. I talk God talk. I tell Robert, he says, what language? I said, you know the language I speak. I speak God. That's the language I speak. I'm always going to speak that language.
No. You guys, never mind.
You're talking about when you were a little boy, you held a mirror up to another mirror, and what were you doing?
I was fascinated to see the infinite imaging that took place. The images that just repeated and repeated and repeated on back, it seemed forever.
Yeah, it looked like the time tunnel.
Oh, yeah, the time, yeah, okay, I know what you talk about on the time tunnel.
Yeah, all right, I understand that. I saw that show, too. It looked like a tunnel going way back.
No, but just like a time tunnel on a time machine.
Time tunnel on a time machine. Whatever. If you guys understand what I'm saying, yeah. So that's what was happening on our on-air computer, and forgive me. Mavis, the guys tell me, you know, I think this is what I wanted to talk to you about. It's not Kim Jong-il, is it?
Well, that's who you want to talk about this hour.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I was going to talk about Hollywood Park.
I know about Kim Jong-il. I'll talk about Korea.
Yeah.
Oh, I know all about that. I've been reading up on it, and I've been boning up on it, and I don't mean boning up in a way that you. I've been reading it though, and
you're not talking about boning up.
I know that. I thought I'd get that in because I thought it was funny, but I'm thinking I know it's not funny.
No, it's not for a lady like yourself, Mavis. You don't need that material, okay?
I just said I boned up, you know, and when I said that over here we were having coffee. At Gary's, you know, Robert, when I meet with the girls at Gary's?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm boning up. And they're all, ha, 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 ha. And now I come on the air with Mr. Henry, and he's like a stiff, he got a pole up his ass, you know, so I...
Well, now, Mavis, I don't think so. I think just that term is not very ladylike.
You know, Margaret, I think you're a wonderful singer. And you know I'm one of the only people that can stand listening to you sing. But don't ever tell me I can't use a phrase like bone up. Because I think it's a good one. It means to get educated, and it also can have a dual double entendre, you know, Anna.
And what does that mean, you're the only one that can stand? I know a lot of people that like to hear me sing.
All right, well, I'm not talking about the crowd at the Hammock or the people you got over there, Mr. Crab at the Crab. You know that one down there?
What is she talking about?
Talk about Mr. Crab.
Yeah, that's at Crab Shack.
I played at a place called Art Bucket's Crab Pot, or I don't know. But that's where I played.
You said that for the crowd, except you.
No, it was a rancid dump. And Frank booked me in there, but I did a lot of great songs. I did that song you just heard, Night and Day, You Are the One. You know that song?
Oh. I had to sit down.
Tony, you all right?
Mavis, you all right?
I gotta sit down.
Oh, quit clowning around.
I'm not clowning around.
You can't say she's clowning around. She may be having a health crisis.
Tony, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, Robert. I'm gonna sit down now. I'm gonna be okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Well, in the name of God, what happened?
I heard.
What did you hear, dear?
I heard it. I heard the thing. Oh, I heard it.
Yeah, but you're talking about your singing.
Oh, give me a break, will you? Are you talking about my singing?
I heard it. Yeah, no denying, I heard it. I heard it like it was almost yesterday. It was like I heard them people at Charles Manson come in and take them. Charles Manson come in and take them.
Mavis, what? You're not making any sense. So you're... You got to get an ambulance over there.
No, I think she's going. I think my other aunt's going to come over and take care of her. Hey, is Connor going to come over?
Yeah, Connor's going to come over. I called her to come over. She's going to watch some late night pay-per-view with me. Don't.
Mavis, okay, so I'm glad that your other aunt's going over there.
Yeah, my aunt Connor's going to go over there, and they watch pay-per-view together. But she had these episodes a lot of times. If there's any kind of a noise...
Are you talking about my singing?
Yeah. Come on, Robert. Please, Robert.
What, Arnie? I'm here.
Robert. Make it go away, Robert. Make it.
What is wrong with her?
Well, Arnie had a dream one night. She heard them coming on the Manson house, you know. And now she, every time you sing, she thinks it's Charles Manson taking people out.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty weird, man.
Wait a second, are you telling me the woman's hearing things?
No, it's just a dream she had.
Yeah.
Well, that is the most, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. Here, listen to this, Mavis.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Because every time she hears you sing, or anybody sing that she don't like, Sound like Charles Manson going to work.
That's ridiculous. Night and day, you are the one.
Yeah. No.
Well, your other aunt, I better get over there because that doesn't sound good.
She's gonna be on there in a minute. I just got off the phone with her.
Yeah, all right. I'm hold on. I'm gonna go to the bathroom now. I gotta retch up.
Yeah, she'll be all right. She got to throw up, but she'll be all right.
Are you telling me? You know, that's a load. No. I am a professional singer. I don't buy it.
Well, we're very, very late for the break.
Of course.
Well, Margaret, don't be,
I think your aunt is being very cruel to me. Night and day, you are the one. I know I run a little flat.
Well, that you can hear her, man. Because she had Charles Manson carve people up when she hear you sing.
She hears Charles Manson carving people up when she hears me sing. Robert, I love you and I love your aunt. I'd love to kill me an old lady.
Wow. Man. We'll take a break, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show and get back. We'll find out. I'm sure she's going to be fine. Mavis Leonard is with us. She was singing, or she was actually doing fine until Margaret started to sing. World-famous Phil Henry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Mavis Leonard on the line, Robert Leonard's aunt, and we've talked with Mavis on occasion about it. Gosh, I don't think there is anything, Mavis, we haven't talked to you about in the years we've had you on the show. We wanted to bring you on to talk a little bit about the, I think it was about Hollywood Park, but I think we're done with that, the Kim Jong-il thing.
No, man, Bonnie, I'm telling the audience, Phil, you're doing a commercial.
Yeah, you're looking at the See's Candy commercial and everything like that.
Oh, God, you and that chocolate.
You like chocolate, Miss Henry?
What's that?
You like the hair chocolate?
I do. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love that. But Robert knows that his uncle, ML. Now, I won't tell a story, but I don't want you to, beat me out or anything like that, because it's not dirty. They're not dirty the way you think, but it's a suggestive story, you know.
Okay.
Robert's uncle and I were at the mall, and I said, well, look at that. There's a candy store. He said, look at that fudge. And he looked at me. He says, how about we pack some fudge? And I wheeled around. I went for the Adam's apple. It's what I used to do in those days.
You hit him? You hit ML?
Of course I hit him. You're talking filth like that to me. I'm his wife.
Oh, my God, that is filthy.
Yeah.
But what do you mean you went for the Adam's apple?
I can say it again. I don't stutter. I walk. I'm two steps ahead of him as I'm heading over the picture window there in the mall to take a look at the candies they have. And
this was the chocolate place?
Yeah, they're like they're selling chocolate candy. I'm two steps ahead of him, and from behind me and to my right, I hear, what do you say we go pack some fudge? And that's when I pivot off my right foot. I wheel around, and I had the two finger. I did a whole, you'd be very proud, a whole karate right with an Adam's apple, you know.
You went Adam's apple? We don't like a chop?
Yeah, I did a judo chop. And he grabbed, he's all, I said, yeah, you know. I said, yeah. I said, you ever, I'm a bad woman now. I got right down next to his ear. I said, you ever mess with me again, you a dead man, you know. I said, you believe me now? You know, and I said, I'm a bad woman. I'm right up in his ear, you know, like Tom Birdwood and Clockers, you know. And he's down on his knees. It's all,
Mavis, stop for just a second. This story that you're telling.
I'm not even knowing the story. What do you need?
You wheel around and you hit the guy in the Adam's apple with a karate chop, and he's choking.
Oh, but Robert knows his uncle always made a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, he did. He always pretend like it's really hurt bad, and then he'd like look. You could see him looking at you, see if you're getting a reaction.
Yeah, and that's what he was doing. He was looking down. He's all. Then I saw him look up at me to see. I wonder if Mavis is buying into this. Now, when I saw that, and I waited for it because I knew it was coming.
You're waiting for him to look up to see if you're buying his choking act.
Exactly. And I was waiting for it, and I saw his eyeballs look up, and as soon as they did, I went back with the right foot, right? And I got into a two-legged karate stance, and I did just a front kick underneath the throat, right on the chin. Just boom, you know, and he started, goo-goo. He did like a goo-goo. And what they call, my karate teacher called a goo-goo gaga, you know.
And what is that?
That's what my karate teacher called that.
What is the goo-goo gaga?
Is when you kick a man and you hit him underneath the tongue, the back, right where the head and the neck start to curve down. You hit him right there with a foot. And he goes like this. The man should go like this. Goo-goo gaga, goo. So that's the goo-goo gaga. See what I'm saying?
All right.
Oh, I get it. So you think I'm full of crap, huh?
Well, this is a story you're telling me about kicking your husband in a public mall. You kicked him, you got him in the throat with a karate chop, then you kick him in the throat with the goo-goo gaga move.
Yeah, that's right, Phil, with the goo-goo gaga move. You know, Phil, we are all lying sacks, you know what, like half the people you get on that show, you know?
Now, honey, you gotta watch out, because you're making up stuff.
I'm not making up anything, fool. If I could bring your uncle back from the dead and have him sit here, stinking up the place, rotten, you know, as a corpse, looking like one of them walking dead. You know, I've watched that Walking Dead. You ever watched that?
I've watched it, yeah.
Yeah. Robert's uncle looks like one of them right now. I'd bring him back, sit him down, and I'd ask him, I said, did that happen or did that not happen? And you know what he's going to say? You damn right it did. And I said, I'm going to do it again, just for good measure. I'd kick your head right off your rotten, because your head all rotted out, you know, like that.
Well, yeah, you're Walking Dead.
If you're the Walking Dead, the head's rotted out.
That's right. I would say, now I'm all done with you, ML. I don't need you no more. Now I'm going to send you back to the other side, and you ain't the Walking Dead no more. I'm going to kick your head right off your shoulder. And I would just go back like an old-style, front-style kicker like Mark Mosley at the Washington Redskins, and just boom, and the head goes tumbling and three-point, you know, like that. Now,
just talk to your aunt, will you? I'm putting her on hold.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
Well, I take it you think the old lady's bats.
No, I don't think she's bats. I think she's just getting off into some stuff that I'd rather, you know.
But are y'all afraid of zombies and everything?
Not afraid of zombies. What he's afraid of is listening to an old lady babbling on and on about God knows what, and Mr. Henry's trying to protect the integrity of the program in case he gets sued. What are you laughing at?
I sneezed. I'm sorry. Not laughing at all.
Yeah, your voice is weird.
You're talking to me about my voice? Wow, does that take a pair?
Well, it is. Because you go like this. Mr. Henry's going to get sued.
Yeah, you did do that, General.
General, I don't think it's the water. I think it's just the... If you were 13, I'd say your voice is changing.
Well, something tells me I'm not 13, so it can't be that. It must be something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you need to go to a ear, nose, and throat guy.
Say that again?
You need to go to an ear, nose, and throat guy.
But he's got to go to all three of those.
Because they generally come in all... There's a doctor called an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
No, why don't you just go to a throat doctor?
Because they ain't got a throat doctor. They got an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Either you go to the guy that does all three of those, or you don't go to one at all.
Well, that's not exactly true.
But okay, that's what I think you need to do, General. So you can take that under advisement, man. I don't know. It's cool. It's all good. It's like, love you. Can't live without you, man. All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Last half hour of this weird, 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 weird show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Everybody, won't you get on the floor? I'm going to go to the what?
Ear, nose, and throat guy.
I don't know what that is.
It's a doctor.
Well, General, I'll help you after the show, and we'll find an ear, nose, and throat guy.
And I take it he'll be looking at my throat.
Yes, not your ears.
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. General Galen Shaw, you have been taking that phenomenal product, Nova Joint. You know, when it comes to joint pain, when it comes to that kind of pain that people suffer after so many years of being athletic, of being physical, of just working, and you have that joint pain that keeps you awake at night, man, it's got to be driving you nuts.
Well, Phil, it was driving me nuts until I found out about Nova Joint. Now, There's a lot of you, your Phil Henry listeners, I know a lot of you are jackballs from way back. And now I'm talking seriously to you. Nova Joint is the product that relieves joint stress. It can make, it, you know, joint stress makes daily activity very difficult. And it can keep you from getting adequate sleep. You stay awake. You pace the floor. And, of course, the lack of sleep. You have low energy, low self-esteem. I don't get enough sleep, and I think I'm just a piece of crap. You know?
Well, General.
Well, General. Now, I'm giving you the word, all right? I'm Moses from the mountain with this one. Nova Joint relieves that pain, and it's not simply eggshell membrane in a capsule. Now, a lot of people may not know what I mean, but those of you who have tried these other products, and you know what I mean. But after 30 years of clinical experience, Phil, the people at Nova Joint know that it takes more than just one ingredient to produce an effective therapy and treatment. And the balanced scientific method is why Nova Joint is a comprehensively successful product. And they don't have glucosamine, chondroitin, eggshell. It's just none of that nonsense.
All right, so to wrap up,
You know, I could talk about Nova. What do you mean wrap up? I'm not going to wrap anything. I'll talk about Nova Joint. I'll sing its praises until I drop dead. Until I drop dead. And I'll tell you one thing. I won't die from joint pain.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
So I want everyone to know it's Nova Joint. And remember the Phil Henry product code. And here they are. These are the Phil 30 and Phil 90. Phil 30 and Phil 90.
God, that voice cracking thing.
Well, maybe it'll work for me in this commercial, but those are the product codes, and those are the two different kinds of...
Those are the capsules you can get, the two different bottles.
That is correct. And also, don't forget the domain, NovaJoint, NovaJoint.com. You understand what I'm saying? You see?
Yeah, NovaJoint, NovaJoint.com, NovaJoint, Phil 30, Phil 90.
That's exactly right. And I, if being on the Phil Henry show hasn't been all that much fun. In fact, there are days when I'd rather just blow my brains out. But I'll tell you this much, it has put me in touch with Nova Joint. So I suggest you run out and get that.
All right. And thank you very much for that endorsement.
Oh, come on, Phil. Are you kidding? You know, some days it's all I can do to sit here and not just weep.
Well, at least you have the Nova Joint to help you sleep at night without that joint pain.
All right, you can quit the plug now. We're done.
All right. Nova Joint, folks. NovaJoint. World-famous Phil Henry show. And so just to wrap up, we were discussing Hollywood Park. And Hollywood Park is, in fact, closing. And Hollywood Park is, in fact, closing on the 22nd. And this will not be the first show that we do about this, because as we get closer to this event, we're probably going to have Don Berman on again. I will see whether or not we can't keep him from screaming and yelling and crying like a baby because he's losing races. But major, major story in the sporting world, and one that makes me feel a little sad. Yeah, bud.
Well, I mean, that people go there and gamble. That's a sin.
It's a sin?
What are you talking about, bud?
When you go to gamble, it's a sin.
Who said it's a sin?
Oh, my mom's church does.
Well, all right, bud. I mean, if you want to be that judgmental, I don't want to knock your mother's religion. What religion is she?
I forget.
What do you mean you forget? What is she Christian?
I don't know.
She's probably Christian, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's on top of the church, man? A roof?
What's on top of the church in terms... Is there a cross up there?
Yeah, there's a cross, sure.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
But I don't know whether she's a Christian or not.
Well, if she goes to a church where there's a cross on top of it, she's a Christian.
What about Greek Orthodox?
That's Christian.
What? How could that be Christian?
Greek Orthodox is Christian, bud. It's just Greek Orthodox. Just like Lutheran. Just like Presbyterian.
Keep going.
Just, what do you mean, keep going?
You haven't hit the one yet.
Well, you come on, man. What? All right, so, well, I'm going to assume that your mother's Christian. And whatever Christian religion she is, it's probably, I would say, tends more toward the fundamentalist, because saying that that gambling is a sin, I don't know that all of the denominations of Christianity teach that.
Well, my mom told me, and, you know, my mom doesn't lie.
Well, I'm not. That's great, man. You're going to be a little mama's boy about it.
You're a mama's boy.
Yeah. Hey, watch it.
Your ass, man.
You know what is a sin? It's Jesus said to love your neighbor, okay?
Yeah, right.
Didn't he say that? Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you fighting him?
Yeah, what are you fighting me for?
Hey, big mouth. Same thing goes for you.
I don't know.
Well, then if you think you're all about Jesus, man, maybe you ought to be thinking about why you're fighting this guy, okay?
Now, I heard a guy say one time that Jesus didn't say that.
Hey, look it, man. I don't know. I'm not the authority. You know, we could get Pastor Rennick on the line if you want. Do you want to talk to Pastor Rennick?
Man, I don't want to talk to that guy. He's a motor mouth.
I want to talk to... Yes, I do want to talk to Pastor Rennick.
He's a motor mouth, man. He never shut up.
Get him on the line, and we'll have him talk about Christianity, because you guys don't know your ass from a hole in the ground about it, okay?
What are you talking about? I know about it.
You don't even know what church your mother's in, okay?
I know there's a cross on the roof. Didn't you guys say that?
Yeah, but there's like 9 million different ways that people, you know, worship Christ, okay? So, But quit it with the, you know, if I used that as your application process for this show, I wouldn't have hired you. Said 90% of the question.
Phil, that was really funny, the face you made. You went all, just, you look.
Yeah, I'm saying you look like one of them dwarves that come from hell.
Yeah, you did. That's it, exactly. You look like one of those hell dwarfs in the late night movies.
A hell dwarf?
Yeah. You ever seen that?
Hey, man, I'll get to you later. I don't know what a hell dwarf is.
It's one of those little creatures that has the scrunched-up face. I can't describe it.
You know, I've seen that, Phil?
No, I have not seen it, man. No, I haven't. Are you talking about Lord of the Rings?
No, not Lord of the Rings. The late-night, cheap, lousy horror movies that they put on that are black and white.
Yeah?
You've never seen the one with the hell dwarf?
No, I have not seen the one with the hell dwarf. I don't know what one you're talking about.
The one with the guy is a hell dwarf. He's all scrunched up and teeny.
Scrunched up and teeny? What are you talking about?
The man wakes up one morning and he's shrinking.
Are you talking about Incredible Shrinking Man?
Yeah, that's it, that's it.
It is. I forgot the name.
Well, where do you get hell dwarf from? Where did you get that from?
What's so funny? What am I missing?
But no, nothing, General. Phil is mocking me again because he thinks it's so much fun to put down a woman.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting you down because you're a female. You're talking to me about a movie that I saw once, which, by the way, is a great movie, Incredible Shrinking Man, right?
Yes, but the hell dwarf you never saw.
What hell dwarf? That guy's face never scrunched up. He became smaller.
It never scrunched up.
You never saw that scrunch up.
The guy in Incredible Shrinking Man, is that what you're talking about?
Well, what was the one where the woman was...
What are you talking about, man?
He was married. He lived in a dollhouse.
That's Incredible Shrinking Man, and his face never got scrunched up.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're gonna squeeze you down...
Did you guys ever see the movie?
I heard about it.
Did you ever see the movie?
I heard about it.
All right. So you're assuming because the guy shrunk, his face got squinched up.
Yeah, that would be a bad logical conclusion.
I would think so as well.
This is great. This is the only place on earth where I'm having an argument with people at a movie, and they're telling me I'm wrong, and they've never seen the flick, and I have.
Well, don't cry about it, Phil. They never did seen the flick. It sounded like you sobbed.
It sounded, Mr. Henry, like you caught a sob there in your throat.
No, I didn't catch a sob. All right.
That S-A-A-B?
No, not sob the car. Pastor William Rennick is coming up next, I guess. Pastor, if you're listening, are you sure you want to come on this thing, man? Because I'm telling you, it's out of control. We'll be right back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. Pastor Rennick and more. Hot town! Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and joining us from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, is Pastor William Rennick. Pastor Rennick is the spiritual head of Joyful Union. They have about probably close to 2,000 congregants that meet there, and the pastor is joining us from Bellflower tonight by request. Pastor, what do you think of that?
You know, I'm very, very blessed, Bill, that people want to hear me.
And we requested you because we just had a number of general questions having to do with the North Korean leader, Christianity. I know Bud wanted to ask some questions, right, Bud?
Yeah, Pastor Rank, my mom is in a church.
Hold on for just a second, but Bill, I don't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, you know, that's a big, big question. You say Bud has some questions about Christianity. Now, I come on the program here tonight. I'll be very happy to answer your questions, but I want to be able to make my case on behalf of Jesus Christ. All right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You got no problem with that.
Well, Phil, can I? Hold on, Pastor, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Do you really want to turn this program into a religious?
Well, you know, he's going to say what he's going to say.
You're going to turn this thing into the Gene Scott Show. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, cut it out. I want to ask a question.
Okay, Pastor, Bud has a question for you.
All right.
Yeah, my mom's in a religion and they don't let you gamble. What's that called?
I don't know. What do you mean your mom's in a religion and they won't let her gamble?
She's at the religion she's in. They don't let her gamble. They say gambling is a sin.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more fundamental. Does your mother like to gamble?
Well, yeah, I mean, she did when she would get the scratch and sniffs.
What's a scratch? What do you mean scratch and sniff?
Well,
you mean a scratch-off?
Yes, it's called a scratch-off, Pastor. You know the one.
Yeah, I know. A scratch-off, you buy that at the store, and you scratch it off to see whether or not you got the winning number, something like that?
Well, I mean, you see, if you scratch it off and then sniff it, you get a burger like a McDonald's.
What do you mean, sniff it?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, isn't it called a scratch and sniff?
No, it ain't called scratch and sniff. Some of it is just the scratch-off. You want to ask me a question about Christianity, you ask me about scratch and sniff. Right there, I'd say that is far worse than any gambler your mother going to do. And I'm not talking about the gambler or the scratch and sniff. I'm not talking about even getting a scratch up. I'm saying you saying the word scratch and sniff. If I was God, that would bother me more than your mother going out and buying a scratch off. See?
If your mother is... May I just say something, Pastor?
Go ahead.
If your mother is buying a scratch off, and is that gambling?
No, I'm saying she used to.
Yeah, she used to do that. She doesn't do it anymore.
All right, if your mother doesn't do it, if she ain't scratching and sniffing anymore, what is it? Are we talking about gambling now or what?
Yes, we're talking. I don't know where we got scratch and sniff. You're talking about those scratch offs that you buy at the store, right, Bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If your mother was doing that and she's not doing it no more, then she got nothing to worry about, okay? Is that what you're asking?
Well, no, but I want to know what religion that's called.
That's called a no-fun religion, as far as I'm concerned, you know. You know, that's called a no-fun religion, you know. But I'm kidding around. Your mother, if your mother had a problem, did your mother have a problem gambling?
Well, I don't know, not that I know about, but on the scratch and sniff.
Let me say something to you, Dickman, because I know you very well. I've met your mother. If you keep saying scratch and sniff, you're going to have me thinking your mother is scratching and sniffing something, and it ain't no card she's buying in a liquor store. You understand what I'm saying? And that, to me, yeah, that would be a sin. That would be a sin.
Well, now, wait a minute.
No, wait a minute. And by the way, don't ask me any more questions. I don't want to have to elucidate or further articulate what it is I'm trying to say. Do you understand?
Well, that is absolutely grotesque.
Well, you better believe it is. I didn't make this world. This kid here is asking me about scratch and sniff, right?
All right, let's get off of that because it's got nothing whatsoever to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about your mother gambling. Did your mother ever go to the racetrack? Did your mother ever... Forget the scratch-offs, okay?
You almost said the G-word.
You better believe it. I almost said the G-D-word. I'm getting so crazy.
Well, that's not a problem. You almost said G. G is far worse than G-D. Did you know that? Did you know that, Phil? That God doesn't mind if you say GD. God doesn't mind you direct him. But if you just say God, like all God is someone standing there with a towel over his wrist waiting for you to dry off, like all God is somebody standing there with a towel while you're in the shower, like all God is somebody standing there waiting to give you a massage, like all God is somebody, he's like a pool boy. God's not your pool boy.
Pastor.
God isn't your pool boy. No. Now, everybody there, listen to me.
Yes, I'm here, Pastor.
Yes.
All right. God ain't no pool boy. You don't go in the pool and get out and go, okay, God, I'm all done. I need to towel off. No, no, no. See? Now you go have your fun. You go have your kicks. Everybody want to have kicks? That's great. I love life just as much as the next man. But I know at the end there's a counting. In the by and by, you're going to go bye-bye. Now, what I said on my sermon last Sunday, when I say when you go bye-bye, you're going to be in the by and by, and God may say to you, bye, and you'll be down in hell, and the devil said, hi. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a pretty slick process. God cooked that one up, and when I say cooked it up, the devil's the one going to flip you over and see the other side's browned. Now,
okay, what, you know, this is getting weird.
But, Pastor, are you saying that that gambling is a sin, is not a sin?
I'm saying that is the intent. So, Bud's mother, if she gambled, maybe, okay, I don't know. But if the woman is taking the money and she's, here's why gambling would be a sin to me. You're taking the rent money. You're taking the food money. You're taking money to keep your baby fat. And you haven't got the guts to keep that money in your pocket to keep your baby fed. That's a sin. Right there. See, right there. You want to point out and point out a sin.
That makes sense to me. And
that's a sin! And I'll tell you something else. When you go bye-bye, in the by and by, now, I'm sorry, I flipped that around. This is my sermon, so just bear with me. When you're in the by and by, wait.
What are you trying to say?
Hold on for a minute, will you, man? God, you put me on your show. You call me up in the middle of the night. I'm having myself a peanut butter sandwich. I'm looking on that investigation discovery, looking at a murder mystery and all this. I'm having myself a ball. And Clara's in bed. Nobody's bugging me. And you call me up and ask me to come on your program. Brother, I want to come on your program and say something. Damn, I'm going to say what I got to say. I was having a peanut butter sandwich. I have Skippy Crunchy. You know that? Phil, you know that?
Yes. Fine. Great. Go ahead. Say what you need to say.
I just want to know what kind of peanut butter you eat. Forget it.
I don't eat peanut butter. It's too fattening.
I love you, Phil. God love you, son, and I'm very happy you're losing the weight. Man, you can't have a kick out of life at all, can you? So here's my thing. This is my thing. You're going to go bye-bye, you go to the by-and-by.
Oh.
Now, when God says bye, and the devil says hi, and the God says bye because you buy. He's not going to say bye-bye because you buy. I'm saying bye-bye because you were not true to yourself. Now I'm going to send you devil. I'm sending you devil-bound. Oh, yeah. You hell-bound. You know what that is?
I think so.
Yeah. So you understand the process now, Bud? You understand the process?
Well.
Go ahead, repeat it to me.
Well, I mean, if you go bye-bye and a bye, if you're in the by-and-by to say bye-bye.
Oh, no, 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 my good man. You don't say... You say bye-bye, you go to the by-and-by, God says bye. Am I bye? No, but bye. You go down to hell, devil says hi. See?
Right. Well, what's that got to do with my mom?
It ain't got nothing to do with your mom. I'm talking about you. I thought you asked me what are you going to cook. Because I'm pretty sure, unless you change your way, your mother, she sounds all right to me.
My mother's okay if she gambles.
No, you fool. I said if your mother is gambling, she gambles. You understand what I'm saying?
Look, Bud, what Pastor Renick is saying, if you use the money for gambling when you should be feeding someone, when you should be paying the bills, that's a sin. You know, in the pastor's interpretation of Jesus' words, that's a sin. If you have the money to spend, then it's not.
Well, so I understand that. That means that someone is going to suffer as a result of you trying to make money for nothing.
Yeah, you're going to go out and gamble like a cheap, degenerate, dirty, filthy girl. I got to go.
And I'm telling you, Bud, I'm going to stop having guests on, man.
I didn't say nothing to him.
I know you didn't. I'm just going to stop having guests on if they keep hanging up on me when they're all done talking. There he is, Pastor William Renick on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So,
now what I heard, the pastor sounds to me, he's a very delightful man, there's no question, but he sounds half mad. Doesn't he sound as mad as a hatter to you?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think he's very exuberant.
The man sounds like he's mad as a hatter. I enjoyed that. And he says, I got to write it down, if you go bye-bye in the bye-bye, right?
No, the by and by. It's a Christian term for the afterlife, the by and by. And the pastor was simply saying, you know, whatever the hell it was that he, that he was saying. Okay, folks, that's all she wrote for the program tonight. It's been a great, great, great joy. It's been a great, great, marvelous, wonderful thing. See you tomorrow night. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, bye-bye in a bye-bye.
In the bye-and-bye.